I mean, I think if you're listening to this podcast, you know what happens to Rachel. And maybe you don't know what she does. Maybe you don't. She doesn't kill anyone. Okay. That's
not what happens. That would be a twist.
You're listening to Glee on the Rocks.
Hello, welcome back to Glee on the Rocks. I am Emily.
And I'm Bea.
And this is season 5, episode 2, Tina in the Sky with Diamonds.
Tina in the Sky with Diamonds. They didn't sing that song.
I know they didn't.
Why is it the title you don't even sing the song?
Because it's probably the one title that fit her name.
I don't.
It's like, wait, why not sing this song?
That's not a good enough reason.
It's,
yeah. I feel like, general comment, the music in this episode was so much worse than the music in the last episode, right?
Yes. Agreed.
Like, it was just worse. Like, the music was so good last episode.
Agreed. The Beatles have a pretty extensive catalog. I think they were picking from a time frame. I'm not sure. I'm not a Beatles person. I don't. I'm not a Beatles Reddit subthread. Like, I can't tell you everything about them.
Well, Shu did give that whole speech. Like, this is the
leaders.
Beatles.
Yeah.
Experimental Beatles. Yeah.
But is Hey Jude experimental Beatles? That feels pretty.
Right. That's what I was like. They never did. There's a bunch of like popular Beatles songs I'm thinking of that they never did.
Oh, there's a extensive Beatles.
Come Together. Why not do Come Together?
That's a good one.
That would have been badass.
That would have been really good. I like Come Together, and I really love Michael Jackson's cover of Come Together.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Then you get the combo.
Yeah, like that gives experimental that sound. Does. I don't know if it's the same era.
Well, there's Across the Universe.
But I'm guessing it is.
Dear Prudence, that's a good song. And that's more experimental. And I wonder if Dear Prudence would have worked better for how they felt about Tina. There are just so many better songs. That Helter Skelter? Come on. There's an inappropriate song that the Glee Club could have done for the time and place. So once again, they biffed the song choices.
And what about a walrus?
I'm the Walrus. Yeah. Paul is dead. Cuckoo, ca-choo.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why not just go off the wall with some weird ones? Instead, I feel like they picked the most restrained songs of the experimental era.
Because, like we've said, except they're like, trying to sell albums.
I know. No, you're right. They did like one verse or one chorus or something of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Band. That was the only thing that was even mildly interesting. Yeah. But it's fine.
I mean, here comes the sun, but it's pretty.
Yeah. No, there were a couple songs I was like, okay, I really like that. But I just the Beatles have a deep discography, and it's weird to me about what songs they picked. And you can be like, you know, they picked the ones that matched the plot or whatever. And they definitely twisted the plot to make some of the other ones make sense. Like Here Comes the Sun was literally about the sun.
Literally about the sun.
Like, Glee, when has Glee ever like made any sense in their
None
choices? Like, you don't have to literally make it about the sun.
And now that I'm thinking about the lyrics, Dear Prudence would have worked really well for after Tina gets carried at the prom and they're trying to get her back out onto the dance floor. Because there's a whole line about like,
and that's
what you come
the
out
one
to play.
Where, yes. That's the one where I felt like they were just shoehorning in a popular Beatles song and having Darren sing it, which I'm never mad about.
No.
Never mad about. But you're right. These lyrics are definitely, Dear Prudence lyrics would be a better fit. They're trying to sell that record. They said, let's put Darren Criss on the most popular Beatles song this episode.
And it worked.
There was a song, I Want to Hold Your Hand was here, and I was going to bring up Blackbird. But so that's two Beatles songs that they already did.
Kurt sang. Kurt was the Beatles king for a while there.
He was. And then he doesn't even get a solo in this episode.
Actually, it would have been kind of a fun meta call out if Kurt had been like, hold on, I'm the Beatles guy.
Yeah.
I would have appreciated that.
Or like, so, yeah, and like a reference to like the Warblers or something. Yeah. I wish.
Yeah. Well, and just, you know.
But, you know, like, there were callbacks in this episode.
There were callbacks. Before we get into the plot, I guess, the trivia is that this is the third time that the second episode of a season has been a tribute episode.
Yes, I saw that. And the like second time there were two tributes back to back, but this is the only time it's been two of the same artist tribute back to back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Were you reading the Glee Wiki trivia section? Because so
totally.
Shout out to Glee Wiki as always.
It's just, it's interesting what they return to.
Yeah.
Because, like, they come back to Britney, they come back to the Beatles. So maybe they just really into the letter B.
Maybe so.
Blaine, Britney, Beatles, Broadway. We're trying to digest these episodes in real time, being like, they were not.
The mental processing we're doing. Yeah.
So, you know, for the episode itself, we've got Blaine in the choir room with Sam, talking about how last names work in gay marriage. Because you really have to start strong on an episode.
Wait, I missed that entirely. Did I not start at the beginning of the episode? I thought I opened with Shu.
No.
Wait, okay, so walk me through it.
No, so it starts with Blaine tinkling the keys on a piano and Sam, who really should have been like lounging on the piano, but he's asking like, in a gay marriage, who takes whose last name? As if it would be any different than a straight marriage. And Blaine, instead of answering the question and giving the fans what they want, if it's Anderson Hummel or Hummel Anderson, because that would have been too much. If they had confirmed Hummel Anderson or Anderson Hummel, it would have been chaos. He just says that he's excited. Kurt said yes. And they leave the conversation at that. Which leaves open in fanon or canon if it's Hummel Anderson or Anderson Hummel.
They were always doing this to us. No, in season six, I think they answer that question. But I'm not going to Google too. It because I think we should see it organically. Which one's your favorite?
Hummel Anderson. I think Hummel it sounds Anderson. Better than Anderson Hummel. I think Hummel Anderson phonetically sounds better.
Hummel Anderson, Anderson Hummel. I think I'm an Anderson Hummel fan.
We get a reminder that Sam is going to take Tina to prom, but he wishes he was taking someone that he cared about. And he says that he has been unlucky in love, which I think is a direct callback to singing Lucky with Quinn in season two.
Oh.
And if it's not, it's just a great happenstance.
You know, I didn't consider that. Okay. I had canon it.
Okay, perfect. Because he said, like, what an odd thing for a teenage boy to be like, I've been unlucky in love.
Yeah. No, you're right. But there were a lot of callbacks in this episode. Who wrote this episode? Ian Brennan. He is the king of callbacks.
He is, yeah. He just copy-pastes from his previous episodes.
I like to think he has meticulous notes for each character.
Only one with notes.
The only one. And he's like trying to insert as many references as possible to be like, "This we've got continuation. We do.
We've written a show before.
We've been on for five seasons. For sure.
It's been 5 years. We know. So this is when you started watching the episode. It's when Shu walks in.
Yeah. Oh, I just went to my Disney Plus app and clicked on the episode again to be like, did Disney Plus like cut out the scene? No, I must have... I clicked like continue and I thought it was just the beginning of the episode. My bad.
Yep. So we have Sue. Well, this is when what's his face? Mr. Shu is like, now we're going to talk about the Beatles and their experimental years, the Rubber Soul years, risking everything to explore. Like what is the Glee Club needing to risk everything to explore? Like they just won regionals. They should be prepping for nationals.
Literally was about to say that. Why not pick a national set list so maybe you can defend your title? No?
Yeah. No, they're going to do that in 12 episodes when it's time to go to nationals.
There's like so few episodes left at McKinley. I'm like stressed thinking about it. I'm like, what? When does this plotline happen? I don't remember shit about season 5 really, so...
No, like we were saying, I just remember the really silly episodes in between, like Twerk. and the puppets.
Exactly.
But the actual plot, gone. But the plot is delivered to us by Sue over the loudspeaker saying that all of the proms, which I'm assuming are like a junior prom, a senior prom, so I guess two proms, are being fused into one giant Brundle prom, which is a reference to The Fly. And if you haven't seen The Fly, you really should watch The Fly. It's delightful. And the prom king nominees are Blaine, someone named Muhammad Omar, Artie Abrams, and Stoner Brett. And our prom queen nominees are Kitty,
but I'm a sophomore.
Amy, who is a new Cheerio, and then neck brace Cheerio Jordan and Tina.
Neck brace Cheerio deserved a name. Happy for her.
I know. I was really excited for neck brace Cheerio. I'm really worried about her lasting arthritis.
Yeah.
She's gonna have being in that neck brace the whole time, but maybe she'll get some good PT after this is all over. Prom queen nominee immediately goes to Tina's head as she ditches Sam as her prom date and tries to sing Revolution, which immediately gets cut off by the school bell. And I thought that was really funny, actually.
That was funny. I love the, it's kind of a continuing joke that like Tina doesn't get solos and her solos get interrupted and stuff. And then she still doesn't have a solo in this episode, even though it's about her. Oh God.
I know. I couldn't tell if that was meta or they just keep fucking up. Like, do they really
tell?
I can't tell. I couldn't tell if it was like part of the joke that even as prom queen, she doesn't get to sing, or if they just didn't give Tina a solo. The world may never know.
It could be either. Well, I think this Tina immediately becomes a monster. Like, poor Dottie, her like friend, subordinate, I guess, is more accurate.
Subordinate.
He's like her campaign manager. She dumps Sam as her date. She like goes on a war path to be prom queen. So I'm like, poor Jenna Ushkowitz. Like, she finally gets an episode where she has the A plot line. And
it's the worst version.
She's absolutely horrible. No solo. And has to get slushy dumped on her. Horrible.
All the slushy.
Poor thing. She was so mistreated in this damn show.
I know. And that's what they talked about on their podcast, was just how much shit she took. You know, not being there, she talks about that she kind of turned into a bit of a rage monster herself. She said, basically, I became unhinged and started acting out and talking back and behaving in ways that she would not and hasn't since. So I'm very curious what that means. And like, I want a crew member to like speak up and say like, actually, she just rose her voice a little bit, or is it worse than that? Right. Like, cause we've heard stories of Leah Michelle, like how bad was it? Or was it just like a little like, hey, I don't like this, you know?
Well, I bet
it's her version of unhinged.
Right. I bet even if she was actually horrible, like I would guess that the rest of the cast members like supported her in that. Like, maybe they didn't like her behavior, but they understood it. And they were like, I mean, you're justified, you know, and they wouldn't be going behind her back, like talking bad about her, because it sounds like it. I mean, I didn't listen to the whole episode, but I read like the Reddit notes, and it sounds like it was like mostly temporary. Like, it wasn't like she was a horrible bitch to everyone for the rest of the show, like some other people.
No, totally.
Power tripping bitch. Also, like, that's the thing, is like Jenna was coming from a place of like having no power and acting out, whereas Leah, with all the power,
totally
was just lording that over everyone. So I feel like that makes sense to me. She could have been absolutely horrible, but nobody had anything to say about it because they were like, you know, we get it.
Yeah, we get it.
And you're mad at the people who, the powers that be, not your fellow castmates.
Yeah. And like, these are long days. You sign on to a show, you think you're going to get A, you get B. When people talk about actors, it's usually couched in this sense that actors have all the money and all, like you said, the power, and they don't necessarily. Like, if you're not a Tom Cruise and you're not whoever is considered an A-list these days, although they're dwindling and it's probably for the better. I don't have a lot of say on set.
Yeah.
Until you're like season 12 of Supernatural, right? Then you can push people around. But yeah, without knowing the exact anything of this, it's kind of hard to blame anyone for getting upset at the shit that Tina has to go through, because Jenna is in her body getting these lines thrown at her. It's hard to imagine that like Chris Colfer wasn't feeling the same way, having some of these lines lobbed in his face and, you know. Hey, Allison, tell me about becoming a podcaster.
Oh my gosh, it's been so long now. So I listened to our sister podcast, Glee on the Rock, for what, like a year or two before I finally came on to join for a bonus episode. I did a That's My Ship. And I remember so clearly like being in my friend's house trying to figure out like, oh my gosh, how do I podcast? What equipment do I need? Do I need like a fancy microphone? Do I need all these cameras? And Emily said, no, it's fine. We've got Zencaster. And I was like, what do you mean? And sure enough, it was fine. She sent me the link. It was so easy. And we were just done. And I was like, is that it? And she's like, yeah, that's it. And I didn't think much about it until like a year or so ago when Emily finally reached out and we decided to start Pack Dynamics. And again, I started to ask her like, oh my gosh, how do I do this? What equipment do I need? Do I need all these fancy cameras? And she's like, no, don't worry about it. We use Zencaster. And I was like, what do you mean? Don't worry about it. But sure enough, she sent me the first link to Pack Dynamics and all I had to do was show up and start. And it blew my mind as to how easy and seamless this process has been. If you are like me and super nervous about jumping into your first podcast, let me tell you about my experience with Zencaster. It is now super easy to record a podcast with Zencaster. Log in using your browser and start recording a high quality podcast right away. Record studio quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencaster's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. There's always like a moment after we finish recording an episode where we kind of cross our fingers and be like, download, download, download. And it always downloads and it's so good. And we absolutely love it. If you've ever thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencaster's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencaster.com/pricing and use our code FANDOM and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencaster paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences that I do for all of my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.
I feel. Well, I guess this is an ad for the Starlight Diner because we have a new character intro.
And she's blonde and beautiful. And she's like, twinkle, twinkle. You know, it's like, ha, there she is.
This is the introduction of Demi Lovato as Danny, who is immediately flirting.
And she immediately should. With. It's like Santana's love interest. Like, there's no.
Yes.
There's no will they, won't they. There's no nothing. It's just like, she's here and they're going to be together. And that's it.
She's here. She's queer. This is the new girlfriend.
That's right.
Unfortunately, we do have to get through Rachel complaining about Funny Girl first, because that is all she does for most of the episode.
Even with multiple attempts to cheer her up, like Kurt and her sing a whole song together at the annual Niata piano tuning, which is
I guess that's a thing. I, for one, would love untrained, unskilled people tuning all of the pianos.
Yeah, that sounds great.
That sounds like a good use of everyone's time. But what this episode does give us is one of, I want to say, a seminal moment in Glee history, which is Santana's Yeast-O-Stat commercial.
I like yeast in my bagel, but not in my muffin.
Absolutely epic. Like, one of the best things in these later two seasons of Glee.
It is phenomenal. I like yeast in my bagel, but not in my muffin.
Not in my muffin. Yes! That's what I was about
to say. Phenomenal. Maybe a top 10 line in Glee.
Yeah. And the frolicking and the ribbon, it's so good. It's so good.
It is incredible. incredible. And it's like, it's new Naya Rivera acting, right? It's like chipper and I don't know, white lady almost. Like,
yes,
like she's like a suburban mom or something. It's incredible. No notes other than course, I would probably buy yeast a stat from her, you know.
I was about to say, of course Santana is the first one out of her, Kurt and Rachel, to actually book a paying gig, because she's the best. She's incredible. She's a star.
She's a star, and she's also putting in the work.
Yeah.
Like, she's got, like, an agent somehow. She's booking auditions. She's doing the work. She's not just sitting there riding on one impossible job.
Like,
because we'll talk, I mean, we're not even at Rachel's whole thing, but, like, doesn't even matter. Rachel, as we see in another scene, she's like flipping through the backstage magazine. She's never actually acted in a gig other than a high school musical.
Exactly. And they've talked multiple times in this show about auditioning, right? Like, her and Kurt have always said, like, oh, we'll go audition. We're both going to go audition for this show or whatever.
Yeah.
First of all, we've said it before, but why the fuck didn't Glee ever do an episode about that? I think that would be hilarious. Yes. Like a bottle episode of them, like, at an audition. So funny.
That would have been so cool.
There would have been so many things they could do and so many one-liners they could do.
Costumes. No.
Yes. And so many, like, weird one-off people and guest stars. Oh my God, it'd be so funny.
That would be amazing.
Is she still talking about auditions? Like, she's never auditioned for anything else but Funny Girl.
Yeah, she's like downtrodden. She's, you know, looking through this backstage magazine, like, I'll just have to audition for blah, blah, blah at the local something theater. Like, yeah, you mean like everybody else?
Yeah.
Everybody's doing these local theaters for their entire careers until they hit off Broadway.
Right. I thought Rachel already had something like off Broadway that she was doing. It doesn't make any sense.
She did that. Was it a movie or a thing where they wanted her to take off her shirt?
Oh, that was it. And then she quit. You're right. That's what she I'm quit. Thinking of.
Yeah,
I think it'd be so funny if instead of this diner thing, it was like they have all of them are in different like off Broadway experimental things, but you never see that. Mm-hmm. They're just like always like with weird props or like practicing weird songs or like doing weird acting exercises in the backdrop of like whatever other plot is going on. I think they're just, you know, wasted potential. I think that'd be really
funny. That would be
cute. Yeah.
I guess Glee just didn't want to spend the time of Rachel not being a star. To see the, like, didn't want her to put in the work. Because I guess the assumption is that it wouldn't have been exciting for the show for them to be in New York just trudging.
I would love that. Let her fucking struggle, you know?
Yeah.
Then she could have reached her peak next season or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no.
And the peak doesn't have to be Broadway. Like, that's an impossible dream, right?
Leading a Broadway musical as a 19-year-old. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Having no background, right? Like, her background is the Glee Club. Her background is not even high school musicals. I'm sure someone could do a supercut of our podcast that's 9 hours long just complaining about Rachel.
It's just, what's frustrating is that Rachel is an interesting character. Okay. Love her, hate her, sometimes both in one episode. She's very interesting. And having her be the main character is not a bad thing. Like, I'm all for women's rights and women's wrongs. Okay. And Leah is full of women's wrongs. Okay. So it's like, I don't hate Rachel as a character more than the show wants me to hate her. I think, you know, I hate that she, there were so many different things they could have done and they didn't do them because like Leah had to be special. Like, that's really what she even says it in this episode again. I've always wanted to be a part of something special so that I could be special, but now I know I am special. And it's like, why have we gone back and forth with this lesson of the show like 5 times? Like, the whole thing was that she always wanted to be special and being a part of the Glee Club made her special. And now you're just reneging that casually in the middle of an episode. mm-hmm. what to like show how dedicated she is or something. She's not. Like, she just, it's all ego. Like, that's what it comes across as. All she has is yep. ego and a very delicate sensibility that, like, she mopes through this entire episode because she thinks,
oh, yeah.
She thinks that it's too late, that, like, if she hadn't heard from the casting people, she didn't get the part. She doesn't know she didn't get the part. She hasn't heard that anybody else got the part. She's just assuming mm-hmm. she didn't get it. And so she mopes through the whole thing. And I also didn't like that her moping is, like, being supportive of Santana. Like, the fact that she yeah. sees Santana's commercial and is like, I'm so happy for you. Like, I mean, obviously through gritted teeth. But – and then Kurt is like, what's wrong with you? Like, you've lost your mojo. And it's like, what are you talking about? Where did any of Rachel's character growth go? I don't know. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they live together. You can't
– yeah.
And that's what you missed on Glee.
10-minute rant over.
No, you're 100% correct. And I wish we could be like, and we'll never talk about it again. But somehow it gets worse.
It does. It does.
Because, like, I mean, I think if you're listening to this podcast, you know what happens to Rachel. And maybe you don't know what she does. Maybe you don't. She doesn't kill anyone. Okay. Like,
that's not what happens. That would be a twist.
That I did say that with, like, and you know what Rachel does. That didn't
you know.
Have kind of like a true crime twist for a second there. But, like, you know what she does.
Yeah.
Maybe it's almost, I'm not going to say it's worse, but, like, it's pretty shady. It's bad. It's very fresh. It's frustrating because there yeah. are many storylines that could have happened. And it does feel like most of the fandom can write a better one for her.
Yeah. They don't write Rachel like they love her as a character. They,
yeah.
Especially at this point, she's kind of a caricature of herself. And it's like,
well. Yeah. Like you said, they write Rachel like Lea Michele has them by the balls.
Yeah. Do you want to wrap up Rachel's storyline?
Or do sure.
you go chronological? Okay.
No, we can. I'm good either way. We can do Rachel and Santana and Danny and their. I mean, I guess Kurt is kind of around, but unfortunately, not that much.
Well, Kurt joins them at the Skylight Diner. Is that what it's called?
Starlight Diner. It's Skyline Chili, Starlight Diner.
Skyline Chili. Not a single reference to Skyline Chili in this whole show. A travesty. Oh, oh my fucking
I think we've
God.
Cracked the code of why the show is bad.
Because they didn't put chili in it.
They fucked up the chili the whole time.
Oh, man. Oh. So Kurt works at the Starlight Diner. And he starts work just in time for Carlisle to be table.
Like, I don't even know what his name is.
I don't either.
Peter Carlisle.
Peter Facinelli is his real name, something like that.
Yeah. Mr. Campion.
Mr. Campion. And he says, this is the most ridiculous part. He says to Rachel, I'd like a whole cake. She says, okay.
Yeah.
And then he says, and I want you to write something on it. And she's entertaining this like this is normal. And at this mm-hmm. diner, they have whole cakes that you can write on.
Yeah.
What?
Some poor chef is in the back, like, fucking gotta write a cake.
Is this a grocery store? Why do they have whole cakes that you can write on? And she's acting like this is completely normal. Like, was she supposed yeah. to be like, what are you talking about? Like, that would have made more sense. But instead, she's just like, sure, I'll get you a whole cake and write something on it.
Yeah. Like, they have whole cakes prepped and they're, like, not pre-cut, too.
Yeah, she just acted
just
like this is
gonna smoosh cake slices back together.
It's a completely normal request.
Yeah.
And just diligently writing it down. Anyways. Mm-hmm. And that's when he's like, Rachel, Barry, you're Fanny Bryce. And, you know, we got to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. My note on this is just like, this is absolutely not how this would work. And is super weird.
Super weird. I'm sorry. Yeah. Red flag if your casting director comes to your place of work and orders a cake to tell you that you got a part. There's
this
no
is definitely
phone call.
Not how we send out casting notices.
Phone call, email, Zoom, through a
yeah.
agent. She doesn't have an agent.
Through her agent. She doesn't have an agent. Santana has an agent and Rachel Berry doesn't have an agent.
Make it make sense, Glee. No.
I can't. They were eating chili. I can't make it make sense.
I'm going to be thinking about late. That all the time. Canonically, all of these characters have eaten Skyline chili at least once. I mean, just think about that. That change.
Except for Rachel, who's supposed to be a vegetarian, so she'd have to be eating the veggie chili.
That's true. Or just the spaghetti.
Straight spaghetti and onions.
Spaghetti and onions and cheese.
Delicious.
Oh, this really altered my brain chemistry today. Oh, man.
Tasty.
Okay, and now I want to talk about Santana and Danny, because as our as the resident lesbian on this pod today, what the fuck?
Yes.
Ian Brennan has never met a lesbian in his life. Why is every conversation about lesbians so fucking weird on this show?
Do you mean she's a 100% sapphic goddess?
And yes, and where she's like, I love lady parts. I'm sorry. What the fuck? Would a straight person say, I love male parts? No, that's so fucking weird. And dehumanizing, I love lady parts specifically, not attached to any person or any.
Just free floating.
Free floating lady parts. I love them. No one says that. If they had said, I love penis, like, would that's weird.
To your coworker at your place of work.
To your coworker at your place of work. Mm-hmm. And also Santana says back to her, the reason that she clocked her as a lesbian was because, quote, you wear a lot of eyeliner.
Yes. What was that?
What? That is not even a lesbian stereotype. They pulled that straight from nowhere.
Wouldn't it be like, I see your combat boots.
Yeah. Or like you've got
and flannel.
A carabiner, like something, anything. You've got a rainbow earrings or like a equality sign tattoo. Nothing, like nothing that's like actually queer flagging at all.
Mm-mm. You wear a heavy lot of eyeliner. Not something I would have clocked.
Maybe
if she was like, I see that you're a scene kid because of your eyeliner, I might have been like, okay. I've
been like, all right. Yeah, exactly. Or you're a big fan of Amy Winehouse or something like that, you know? Like, wearing a lot of eyeliner is not connected to being a lesbian in any way. I mean, there's a thing about being like hyper feminine as a, like a lesbian kind of stereotype, but like, she's wearing her work uniform. Like you can't even clock that. It's just wearing the same thing everybody else is.
Yep.
A
same
lot
thing.
Of eyeliner. I can't.
They're like thigh high go-go boots or whatever the fuck they're wearing too. Like that seems very uncomfortable for a full
shift. It really does. It really does. And then my last lesbian beef in this episode is when Santana says that she's not going to stray for penis. That's why she's excited
to meet a
lesbian. She's not going to stray for penis. What the fuck? This show is so shitty to bisexuals. I'm
so
sorry.
I wrote that down.
Bisexual out there, I'm so sorry. You did not deserve to be treated like this. This show has been so fucking shitty to bisexuals always. And
I wrote, what in the biphobia?
Yes. Brittany did not stray for penis. Also, like Santana broke up with her.
Yeah.
Brittany wanted to stay together. And Brittany like has told her multiple times she still loves her. Just because the next person Brittany dated after Santana was a man. And also Santana's ex-boyfriend, which is like, you know, that's typical Glee with the blob.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about that in a minute, aren't we? With fucking Sam's storyline. Mm-hmm. But I just got to be angry on behalf of like bisexuals and sapphics and lesbians everywhere. Like this was so shitty. Just let Santana have a girlfriend. It doesn't have to be all weird like this. It doesn't have to be so aggressively anti
shitty.
Yeah.
You don't have to say these things out loud.
Just or have a sensitivity reader. Like you're telling me there were no female gays on the writing who reviewed this? Like, didn't someone?
I'm gonna say no.
How do writer rooms work? So, like, Ian Brennan has the sole writing credit on this episode, but surely there was like other people who contributed.
Yeah, there would have been staff writers.
Gotcha.
But, you know, you go around. There's, you know, different people. Well, depending on the writer's room, different people can write an entire episode. Or so like before a season starts, you like break episodes where everyone kind of sits around discussing what they want to happen for the plot for each episode. And then you kind of, you're supposed to come up with like your arcs of the season.
Okay.
Like this is what we want in general to happen throughout the season. You kind of like break the story. And then people are assigned episodes based on any number of things. Sometimes seniority, like if you're a new staff writer, you probably aren't going to be given an episode, but you'll be in the writer's room kind of like breaking stories. And I don't know, sometimes you get to type the episode.
Ooh.
exciting. Keeper of the final draft. But I don't know. I think it really just depends on each writer's room, right? Like if Ian Brennan is the credited writer, he is probably, I don't want to say that he's the sole writer, but is probably the main writer. Gotcha. It doesn't mean that other people didn't contribute scenes.
Okay. So there's not really a world in which Ian writes this alone, edits it alone and puts it into production alone without any other pair of eyes looking at it and having an opinion. Yeah. So hashtag Glee hates girls. They just didn't put, there's no way there was a sapphic person in this writer's room. This is fucked up. I mean, but good for Santana for having a girlfriend. Here Comes the Sun was cute.
Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. Ah, little darling, the smiles return into their faces. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the
It was very cute. I question what the shifts are like. Like,
the
why
shifts,
are,
yeah,
why is, what is this restaurant open? Like, the real restaurant this is based off of closes at, like, midnight or something.
Yeah.
But this one seems to be open 24/7.
They're there long enough to see the sunrise. I'm like, I've stayed late after a serving shift before, but not for, like, 4 or 5 hours. That's not right.
No, so I don't know if their shift just goes until 5 a.m. and then the next people come in for the morning, but you know,
as we mentioned before, it really just seems to be a plot device to have them literally be singing about the sun rising. Here comes the sun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's rising.
It's here it comes. Doo 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 doo.
Sun. Here it comes.
And she just happened to have her guitar at the restaurant.
You know, that's also a good, does she use it in her singing on her shift?
Yeah, because like she was sitting on a stage, there were stools, like, do they, so not only does this restaurant have singing waitstaff, but they also have like mic night? What is this?
I guess so. try not your new stuff.
Try not to think about it too hard.
Yeah. I did think it was, their acting was cute. The lighting of them like simulating the sunrise, that was well done.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was cute.
Like going on the streets together, walk home a little bit together. Cute.
No one seemed to have any coats. Like they just left without any stuff.
Yeah, I can't relate to that. I have so much stuff anytime I go to and from work.
I'm gonna need a purse of some sort here.
Yeah. There's no pockets on that uniform. Almost like costume.
No. On that, well, it is a costume.
It is a
both
costume
and a uniform. Yeah. Like, they take a subway, a no subway car? What happened here?
That's a good point. But the song.
They sing the whole way home on the subway?
That song in isolation, I love. If I can just forget everything else about how they get together and the insensitive fucking lines they have to say. I love it. Super cute. Love them together. Demi Lovato, queen. Great voice. Mm-hmm. Love that she was on Glee. Mm-hmm. forget about that she was hungry all the time. Well, I thought it was cute that Danny was also there, like at the end in the last song. Like she's like hanging out at the loft with them. She's just at like the loft, part of the group now, hanging out at the loft.
They took her in immediately.
That I love about New York. Like, please, please make New York just like bringing in all the misfits. I love that.
Yeah.
Because that
they need that many people to pay rent.
Also true. They need that many people to pay rent.
They don't have any doors, but they just keep bringing people in.
No doors, no walls. It's fine.
Just keep them rolling.
Get more white noise machines, guys. We'll be fine.
Set them up with curtains.
It's fine.
Yeah. What they're singing at the end is Let It Be.
Yes.
It's cute. Well, everyone sings Let It Be because it's the final song.
I love the final song moments when it's like New Directions is singing, New York is singing. There's some solo moments. There's some group singing moments. Super cute. I'm a sucker for a good ending song, and that was a great one.
Me too. Can't hate.
Can't hate. No hate on Let It Be.
Can be mad about a lot of things, but can't really hate a good ending song.
You can't. Especially when it's well done, like the crossover between New York and McKinley. Can we please talk about Sam's storyline next so we don't have to end with it? Because I hate it.
Yeah. Yep. So poor old Sam gets dumped for prom because Tina is on her ego-tripping rampage. And concurrently, Sue is instituting mandatory vaccines at the school for polio,
which was eradicated in the 50s, as Sue points out.
Yep. What the vaccine is for is really irrelevant. It's just that Sam is afraid of needles.
Well, did you hear the part where it also like retcons the fact that there are members of this cast who disappear and reappear at will, aka Sugar and Joe?
Yes.
So Sue is like, I know your glee club is always sick. And that's why I'm going to have vaccines. I was like, okay, I see what you did there. It makes no sense, realistically.
Makes no sense.
But, you know, give a little callback to the fact that people just disappear and reappear.
Yeah, disappear, reappear. Maybe, I mean, no one's put out like a missing persons report for Joe.
Yeah. He's very sick. God bless. We need to check in on him.
You know, considering his background, he may not be vaccinated.
True. And he's always walking barefoot everywhere.
You got to watch out for that one. You
got to watch out. And so
Sam. Yeah, go ahead.
We're like really in sync today. I was just going to say. And so they hire to administer these vaccines a untrained sophomore in college.
Yep. Nurse Penny.
Who, like, they could have at least had her have a CNA or something. She, like, genuinely has no idea what she's doing. How did she get hired for this position?
This also intimates that there is no school nurse.
Yes. What? Because they had a
like, cut isn't call. There, shouldn't there be somebody already there who can do this?
Absolutely. This is very against regulations.
Weren't they getting scoliosis tests in school? Like, what happened? Was that just us?
I wish they had made more of at least a comment on why they don't have a school nurse, but I guess my headcanon is Figgins, like, cut it for money purposes.
Yeah, to send the new directions to regionals.
Yeah.
But no, Nurse Penny is there injecting something into a sausage.
And then later he's practice. Like, is that the same needle used in the sausage? And she was like, good eye. Oh, my God. She's going to kill someone.
Well, yeah, because what she does to one of the – was it a previous patient or one of the Cheerios? Is like there was a urine sample and a vaccine and she switched the vials.
Yes, the Cheerios. That's how she gets fired. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like I can't even laugh at that. I'm like, someone's going to die.
Why was there urine in a vial? How did that even get in there?
Yeah. There are instructions on, like, a drug testing box. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow Sam finds this extremely attractive.
He does. He is so into Penny. She's cute, but, like... okay, and why is Sam paired with, what's the right word? Idiots.
It's true. They're like, oh, he can never pull like a super smart girl. Why not just give him a regular girl that we're, her intelligence is not really a plot point. Like, why does it have to be like, there was Santana who like used him, and there was Quinn who like, it didn't last very long. And then, but this is such a TV thing. It's like Sam's like idiotic nature has become more and more emphasized as like his only character trait.
Yep.
Over the seasons. Although they did bring up the nipples thing in this episode as like a quip. It's like a one-off.
Yes.
And his big mouth.
He starts like
another one-off.
And his big mouth, yes. Yeah.
So I'm like, this poor guy. Poor Cord Overstreet. Just another victim of Glee, like turning physical traits about their actors into jokes. Poor thing.
Like, he's an attractive person.
Yeah.
Like, imagine you go to work every day and someone hands you a script that's like, I wonder how they're going to make fun of me today.
Glee was a torture chamber.
Oh my God. How did people come out of there remotely okay?
I don't know. I feel like they relied on
it. It kind of seems like maybe they didn't.
Yeah, also true. I don't think they did. I don't think they did.
Horrendous. Oh, Jesus. I feel like if I was writing on a TV show, I would just work very hard to be like, and this character has the most gorgeous eyes.
Exactly.
Like,
I'd be like, we hire people because they're attractive and funny and talented.
Yeah.
Not to make fun of physical traits they literally cannot change.
No. Ugh.
Some shitty shit.
So Sam starts coming up with reasons to visit the nurse's office, including biting his own arm in a way that it gets like infected.
And says it's a snake bite.
It's a snake bite in Lima, Ohio. Maybe there are snakes in Lima. I don't know. And his fucking friends are just like, did you bite yourself? And are not physically shaking him to be like, you need to stop this.
Yeah.
Blaine's just like, you need to bite yourself.
It's just like a gentle call out when it's like, please tell your friend he's being fucking weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, they made her like a sophomore in college to make this like less creepy, right? Like a little more viable.
Because otherwise she'd be 26.
Right. And like, I think they also did it for like making it a little more viable. Like they could.
Yeah.
Will they, won't they? And it's like,
Is he even 18?
I hope.
Do we know?
No one has birthdays in this show, so.
No.
Except for Kurt, because he was, like, randomly older than everybody in his grade. Because he, like, turned 16 and got a car, but he was a sophomore. A freshman?
Mm-hmm.
He was a freshman, so he was, like, older than everybody else? I don't remember.
I don't know that it matters.
I'm hoping he's 18. Maybe he's older than everybody else. He's 19. Slightly less creepy. She gets fired because of the urine thing. The urine. She injected urine into someone.
The urine problem.
The urine issue. I can't think about it too long. I'll barf. So Sam's bright idea is, oh, well, I never got the vaccine because I'm scared of needles. So if you give me the vaccine, that will be proof that you're good at your job. And then you can stay. And so he pulls down his pants so she can give him a meningitis vaccine in the butt. Is that where you get a meningitis vaccine?
I mean, I got all of my college vaccines, and I don't remember getting them in the butt, I don't think so.
The only thing you get in the butt is, like, steroid shot. It's the only thing I've ever gotten in the butt.
So I think I got mine in the arm, like, most shots. And I got a pretty big ass. If they were gonna, like, there's plenty of meat back there to, like, hey, it works. She gets to chaperone prom.
And Sue keeps her around because she wants to manipulate her. So,
yeah.
Get her steroids. Yeah. Not from a drug dealer, apparently.
Not from a drug dealer. This nurse who has
different. Aren't those different from
I know.
Like, the ones that build muscle? I don't know.
Listen, I don't know.
I don't even know how to Google that. So I'm just kidding.
I don't know that I want to put that.
Let us know.
The NSA agent in my computer is going to be like, you've got to stop Googling the weirdest shit
I'm a writer. It's fine.
And like, she's doing this with no gloves, no sterile field, no little swab of disinfectant. Like, I can't.
Sometimes the same needle she used on the sausage.
Disgusting. So enjoy your infection.
Yeah.
The next season on Glee, he's dealing with septic shock. Well, I guess they go to prom.
Well, he doesn't kiss the nurse or anything in this episode. No. Yeah. They're going to draw it out for another episode or two, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because this is the storyline we want drawn out over some episodes is yeah. Sam and the nurse.
I'd love to know if Sam's going to make out with the nurse. Gross.
I'm on pins and needles, you guys, about this nurse situation.
What's frustrating is that it's so clearly a mid-game thing. There's no way he's pursuing a long-term relationship with this fucking nurse character. And the nurse is not bringing anything interesting to the episode. This vaccination thing is completely closed around Sam and the nurse. Mm-hmm. It's adding fucking nothing.
Nothing. Nada. Zip zilch. Nada.
So anyways, thank you. That's pretty much it, right? We can move on.
We reject it. We take it and we pass it on to the next person, actually.
He did have a song, I guess, but it was unremarkable.
Yes, he sings Something.
Yes.
Which is such a romantic song for someone he doesn't know. So that's nice.
I guess he's just transferring his feelings onto her. He was like still into Britney, right? Before she left?
Yeah, I would say he is.
Yeah. So I guess he's just, you know, he's rebounding.
Because people can't be single on this show.
They're not allowed. Nope. That's right.
Yeah. Can't be single.
Not even for a second.
Well, is it time to talk about Tina?
It is. Tina on the prom queen campaign rampage. Mm.
She is on a rampage. She has, I don't think she's hired. I think she has simply forced into service.
Yep.
This poor girl. What's her name again?
Dottie Cazzatore.
There we go. As her, I think she called it a polling assistant, but I think it's just simply a slave.
Yeah. Campaign manager slave. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Don't be racist. Vote for Tina.
Which I laughed at and then was mad at.
It's a very Glee campaign slogan.
Literally. I was like, oh, okay. No.
Yep. Yeah. It's not great.
And Bree, the head Cheerio. There can only be one mean Cheerio. I've decided it's like the Avatar. One falls and the other rises.
Yes. Kitty has fallen as the mean Cheerio, so Bree rises.
That's right. Kitty is
and
now
she's
nice.
She's just not. Yeah, Kitty's she's nicer, but as
she's
you
very
said,
nice
she can't
in this
be-
episode.
Yes, she is incredibly nice. But she is mad at Kitty for campaigning for Tina,
right?
Because it's like going against Cheerio code.
It did make sense the way she's like they made it make sense where Glee doesn't always do that. Make sense is very loose, but you know, in the Glee universe where she's like, we haven't had a Cheerio queen in 2 years. And we're going to, like, fall from our social status.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Yeah. Because last year was Rachel. And then the year before that was Kurt.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it held a logic.
Right.
To it. She's just not as funny as Santana.
No.
And they're desperately trying to make her Santana. And you're just like, you're listening to her rattle off her very long lines. And you're like, I just don't. It's like washing over me and like I don't care. I don't even remember any of these. They're just not interesting.
You know why? It's because they wrote her speech as a direct reference to that unhinged sorority president email that went around.
Maybe she
wasn't the president, but the one where she was like, these fraternity brothers think we're fucking weird. And the line where she's like, you have 51 weeks of the year to like love on your Glee Club sisters, but this is the one week you have to be loyal to the Cheerios. Like, just Google like unhinged sorority email or like, yeah, and it'll come up because it's fucking funny. This happened when I was in college too, so everybody was talking about this email.
That shit sorority pledge email cannot stress how important Spanx are. I like it.
Yeah, the original sorority email was about, like, apparently it was like Greek week or whatever, and they're paired with this fraternity and they're supposed to work together to do something. Like at my school, it was you work together with a fraternity to make a float for homecoming parade. We had to pomp it. Do you know what pomping is?
No.
I didn't do any of this shit when I was in a sorority because we could miss a certain number of things like for free without getting fined. And this was the week I did not fucking do. I should have known I was a lesbian. But we had to like pomp, which is like you cut these squares of tissue paper and then you crumple them into a little ball. And then you take all those balls and you like mosaic a design for your homecoming float.
Are these recyclable?
I don't know what they do with them afterwards. Probably not because you have to glue them down. Mm, I just noped out of all of this because I was like, I don't want to hang out with a fraternity and I don't want to fucking stay up all night pomping a float. I like got to pass my classes. So,
yep.
So the email was basically like, this frat hates us because you're fucking boring and you won't hang out with them and you're just hanging out with your sisters and you have 51 – well, they actually said you have 361 days out of the year to talk to sisters and this is not one of them. This week is about fostering relationships in the Greek community. But there's like so many F-bombs and she literally says like, are you fucking R-word? I want to tell – I want you to tell me if you're mentally slow. Like it's basically Bree's speech but like so much worse. And y'all should read it if you want to because it's literally unhinged. My sorority experience was not like that, but you know, somebody's was. And so I think that's why Bree's speech is so not memorable because it was like a reference. It wasn't actually, you know, what we typically look for in those good glee like fighting monologues. There's no creativity.
And it wasn't specific to the show and the characters. It was referencing something that, like, a ton of people probably didn't even see.
Exactly. So, like, maybe a handful of people got the reference, but it wasn't it wasn't close enough to the original source material to be immediately flagged. Like, I didn't get it when I watched it. I got it from the Glee Wiki trivia section, so. You know.
Coming in hot, the Glee Wiki.
Always. We stand for Glee Wiki. But yeah, so Bree is, she's there and she's mean and she has a whole plot against Tina. Number one, like Kitty had abstained from campaigning even though she was nominated because she wanted Tina to win and she's only a sophomore. So she was like, I'll help you win, Tina, and I can have another chance. And Bree gives her a little speech and is like, you have to campaign or like we're going to come after you. Ends up putting up campaign posters on Kitty's behalf and then goes a step further and recruits poor Dottie. It's giving like Dobby the house elf. She's like,
yes,
I'll save you if you come work for me and like we can get Tina back for you or whatever. But really just wants her to do her dirty work so she can like come off clean. They're like, oh, I didn't stage a bucket of red slushy with extra ice shards.
This person is abusing you. Let me abuse you instead.
It'll be better somehow and more moral.
Yeah.
And so do you think that Tina really won? Or did they like engineer Tina to win so they could humiliate her?
I don't know. So I wonder if it falls into that problem that we have with Glee where the Glee, how many times can I say Glee in a sentence, where the Glee Club has this thing where they consider themselves downcast outsiders, but they keep winning competitions that would make them popular. You know, some of these kids have been in the school now for 4 years.
Yeah.
I don't know what makes them unlikable anymore.
And like, you even have the Glee Club performing at prom.
They're performing at prom. People aren't booing them off stage.
Yeah.
They're winning championships. Some of them are on multiple committees, right? Like they, even though we don't see them, we're still assuming that some of them are on other committees, like, you know, the superhero committee, whatever the fuck that was. Like,
and the football team, right? Writers on the football team.
I don't think he quit the football team.
Just off screen, he's on the football team.
wasn't Sam on the water polo team?
Yeah, with his crooked nipples. I can never forget. That's some quality, like, diss rant, okay? I will never forget Coach Ross's diss rant against Sam. Bree just doesn't have it. I'm sorry. The chops ain't there.
So, it doesn't seem out of place to me for enough people in this school to vote for Tina as prom queen. Like, that doesn't seem out of place, and it also doesn't seem out of place for these idiots to vote for Stoner Brett.
Oh yeah, that I loved that.
That makes sense to me. Like, of course people are gonna be like, Stoner Brett, I get it, right? Like, yes. And because the two Cheerios, if you really get into polling, they're new. Well, Neck Brace Cheerio, I think, has been in the school since the 90s. Maybe they split the vote, right? Like, people who vote for Cheerios for prom queen split the vote.
Right. That's true.
And then it goes to Tina. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, I could see it either way. Like, Tina really won.
Yeah.
Or because they, shamed everyone into, like, don't be racist, vote for Tina. Mm-hmm.
That too.
Or, they made sure she wins so they could humiliate her with the slushy a la Carrie.
Yeah.
Another reference in this episode.
Yes.
She very spectacularly gets dumped a bucket of slushy on her.
She sure does. Carrie style.
And then the bucket hits Stoner Brett in the head. Yes, it looks like it was a real bucket that really hit him in the slow-mo. I was like, oh my God.
That was a good effect. I liked it.
Holy shit.
And I actually really liked how bloody it looked on the floor.
It did. Yeah.
It had like a nice consistency on the ground.
Yeah. The effect was amazing. And they probably only had one shot to do it. And it came off really well.
Yeah, the cleanup would have been a nightmare between the dress and her hair and the timing and...
And Kitty notices it happening and only screams. Like, why didn't she knock her out of the way?
I think because they really wanted the whole scene to look like the scene in Carrie. Oh yeah. I will say that Tina's dress was very pretty.
Dude, Tina looked gorgeous.
She looked amazing.
Like, and just stunning. Like, the cut of that dress. Gorgeous dress and her hair and everything. Absolutely stunning. I think they did that on purpose to make it extra, like, mean. She gets a thousand slushy. Because Tina doesn't really get to be beautiful very often.
No.
She gets to be quirky and she gets to be whatever. But, like, they really don't let her be the beautiful one.
And they still don't hear because they douse her in slushy.
Exactly. It's like, this should be Tina's moment.
Yeah.
And it's just all for, like, a plot. Like, it's all for, like, a Carrie reference. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. And it makes me so mad for Jenna.
Yep. A Carrie reference in a Beatles episode. I did write in my notes, like, I wrote my notes that, like, a horror movie homage episode would have been kind of interesting.
Dude, that's such a good point.
Like a Halloween horror movie something episode that wasn't centered around the Beatles could have been kind of fun.
They never did a spooky Halloween episode. They never did a Halloween episode.
No, they had the thriller Super Bowl episode.
And they had, Rocky Horror. And then they had that one clip where Kurt and Blaine are trick-or-treating as Snooki in the situation. Wow. If we could, like, pitch an episode of Glee, that's definitely what I would do. That's so cool. There's a lot of good, like, Broadway songs that could go with that.
Yeah.
Snooki Broadway.
Well, and you have, Little Shop. But you could also intersperse it with, like, the Red Right Hand,
yeah.
Not that we're pitching new Glee episodes. Jesus,
I don't want a Glee reboot. This is
we just want new Glee episodes out of nowhere.
Yes, I was gonna say this is ethically dubious, so I don't actually want it. But if I wanted more Glee episodes, it would be like AI generated. Like, that's what I'm looking for. Is like same cast, same everything, but it's just like AI generated new episode, not a reboot.
No, don't support AI.
But I don't actually support AI, exactly, which is like, I don't actually want it. But if I, that's what I'm pitching is like somehow
just beam it into my
created, brain. Yes, episode of in the same time and place and characters and everything. No reboot, please. Yeah. God. But after she gets carried, I do think it was very wholesome how the Glee Club rallied around her. Every single girl volunteered their dress. So sweet.
Yes. Sentences are hard. Do you think this was a direct callback, or did they forget that they did this exact thing with Kurt at the prom?
I was just thinking
Blaine
that.
Is the one to stop her from leaving.
You know, now that you say that, and now that I'm thinking about it, this is me processing in real time. What a cool character growth moment that, like, when Kurt was humiliated at prom and ran out, only Blaine ran after him. But when Tina is humiliated mm-hmm. at prom, the entire Glee Club comes out and, like, comes to her aid. Like, I don't know if they intended any of that. Maybe. They do like parallels sometimes. So maybe it was a point of, like, how the Glee Club has grown as, like, a family, that they would rally around someone who hasn't been very nice to them and, like, hasn't always been, you know, on the inner circle or, like, on the A-list or whatever. Just like Kurt was, like, kind of an outcast even among the Glee Club sometimes. But for all of them to rally, every single girl offered her dress. Like, every single person was like, we're going to support you no matter what decision you make. You're right. I think it made sense for Blaine to take the lead because he's been in that situation before without mm-hmm. directly calling that out.
Yep.
You can't help but draw the parallels. Yeah.
He knows what to do.
He knows what to do. He's been there. And so Kitty gives Tina her dress. They, like, slick her hair back.
Yeah. Cute little bun.
Yeah, because it's full of slushy goo. And did you notice the flowers were white and then they're pink?
Yeah.
So, like, the slushy dyed the flowers or whatever. That was kind of a cute detail.
I thought that. I liked that.
Yeah.
I was like, how do you have the attention to detail for that shit and nothing else?
You know why? Because it's like the prop department holding us down.
Yes, you're right.
And costume really holding us down.
Set deck is in there like, no, leave us alone. We got
exactly.
it.
They're like, we care. We got the details.
Don't interfere with our work.
And Blaine fucking kills it on Hey Jude.
He does. I was like, here's Darren trying to outdo the original once again.
And he do. That tweet went around recently. Do you see it making the rounds where it's like,
yeah.
I don't want a Glee reboot, but I do want more artists to be scared of Darren Criss absolutely bodying their songs. And
absolutely. They're not wrong.
They're not wrong. He kills it as the lead on Hey Jude, and I love all the, like, backup singing from everybody else, and it turns into a big triumphant moment, and the arrangement is just, like, really good and really perfect for the scenes.
So Darren Criss and Kelly Clarkson have just, like, they're not diametrically opposed voices, but they're both able to, like, take someone else's song and then do their exact, like, Kelly Clarkson takes someone's song and just, like, puts her voice on it and says, this is mine now. And then Darren Criss takes someone's song and changes it enough to say, this is my song now.
Oh my
God.
So
the two of them,
you know what,
should
we
make
yes.
a record.
But yeah, I love how Hey Jude, like, it starts all slow and very isolated, just Darren's voice. And that's when they're, like, getting her ready and cleaning her up. And then it, like, swells into this big triumphant, like, beautiful, and all their voices together, like, booning her up to the stage, and, like, her grand mm-hmm. re-entrance, and, like, you're not gonna let me down, and not gonna hold me down, and all that stuff. But my disappointment was, she gets up on stage and she's just like, I accept your crown, long live prom. That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
Why would she say that? I'd be like, fuck the haters, or, like,
mm-hmm.
you can't keep Tina Cohen Chang down, like, something like that.
Exactly.
Long. Like, what does that mean?
Like, I don't know. It almost felt like there were some missing lines somewhere about prom.
Yeah.
About, like, how much prom meant to people.
Yeah.
And then they included this and it now doesn't make any sense.
Because earlier she's like, I'm going to be bigger than Jesus. Like, why not get up there and be like, I'm bigger than Jesus. Like, something. It wasn't really a callback to anything. It just was like random. Yeah.
It was just like, long live prom. Like, okay.
Was that in question? Yeah, that like, weird. Prom was going to get canceled? No.
Yeah. Like, well, we are at prom.
We're at the prom. But yeah, triumph. Glee Club triumph.
Yeah.
Over the crooked Cheerios, over I guess, this time.
The haters?
The haters.
Yeah, they really battle the Cheerios again in season 5 here, don't they?
Yeah, and Sue brings that up. Like, Coach Ross somehow finds out that Bree's the one who orchestrated the slushy. Don't know how. Brings her to Sue and is like, you got to punish her. What was with Sue being like, I don't know who she is? Is that going to come back later? That, like, Bree wasn't actually a Cheerio?
I think it was meant to be like, oh, look, here's new characters that barely got an introduction and isn't so funny that Bree is now part of the storyline and we hardly know who she is.
Oh my God, thank you. My ass was like, what are they trying to say?
Yeah, I think it was just meant to be like, isn't it funny that this random ass character is now like a major plot point?
Thank you. That makes a lot more sense to me. Okay. Yeah, and Sue's like, I'm going to promote you and you're going to wage war against the Glee Club so they can be better because they're only good when they're competing.
Which, okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be inaccurate about the Glee Club. They do seem to thrive on being underdogs.
Yeah, that's true.
Which isn't true. They're not underdogs, but it does seem to be the place from which they prefer to be.
I mean, as usual, though, I think they could be better if they just practiced.
You know, how dare you suggest that hard work?
You know, that could also help.
How?
But I don't know.
How dare you? If we just spend this time actually practicing songs and dance moves and not week by week just doing shit.
Right. And they like referenced that again this episode, didn't they? They're like, oh, the songs they're going to pick at the last minute or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Sue goes through a whole thing about like the songs they pick at the last second when in the hotel room or some shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And she's not
right. Don't meta it if you're going to make the same mistake.
I know. They're like, haha. We can make fun of ourselves and still do it.
Funny.
It's not funny.
Hey, Emily, talk to me about hydration.
So you lived with me. You know that I left water bottles all over the apartment.
You do. You have such an emotional attachment to your emotional support water bottles.
I did. Hydration is really important to me. I'm thirsty, and I find that having a lot of water around me at all times really makes it easy to stay hydrated. But there's something else that helps me stay hydrated.
Well, the thing that I really struggle with is I really struggle to stay hydrated. So lately I've been doing a lot of those like treadmill struts, but as I'm like strutting in the gym and like awkwardly sweating in front of all these people, like I drink so much water trying to stay hydrated. And I'm from the desert and hydration is super important to me because I was a cognitively underhydrated kid because that was my own fault because drinking water wasn't fun. And so anything I could do and can do still to make hydrating more fun and appealing and delicious is something that I want to do. Unfortunately for me, lots of these types of like water flavors have tons of sugar, which does mean, luckily for me, Liquid IV, the number one powdered hydration brand in America, is now actually available in sugar-free. So one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone.
Yeah, and the sugar-free version, which is made from a proprietary amino acid allulose blend for that sweet taste without the calories or the raised blood glucose levels that you can get from sugar, comes in these 3 new, really exciting flavors. There is a white peach, which is really robust and satisfying. It's kind of like those peach gummy candies that we all loved as kids. There's a green grape, which is tart and crisp and really, really yummy. And then a lemon lime, which is super zesty and refreshing and really awesome for the summer.
So I actually have a box of frozen green grapes in my freezer right now. And if I could get my water to taste like that while being super hydrating, that seems like an absolute dream.
Totally.
Plus, there's a bonus to using Liquid IV in that they believe that equitable access to clean and abundant water is the foundation of a healthier world. Liquid IV partners with leading organizations to fund and foster innovative solutions that help communities protect both their water and their futures. And to date, Liquid IV has donated over 39 million servings in 50 plus countries around the world.
So get 20% off when you grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free or any other version at liquidiv.com and use code FANDOM at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code FANDOM at liquidiv.com. And then they all sing Let It Be in the cutest little pastel 60s outfits. Super cute.
I know, their little love 60s that. Garb.
All the straight hair and the...
A funny, I guess this is another sidebar. This is just us talking about what Glee should have done and not the actual episode.
That's what we're
Glee
here for.
Should have done another sidebar about like the home ec class making all of their costumes every week.
That's cute. Well, they did have that. Remember when Tina falls in the fountain? It's because she's buying material for people's costumes. Yeah. So it's like the joke was that like the younger Glee Club members have to make the costumes.
She's never making them, though.
I think funnier that the home ec class would be making them. I think that's funny. Like someone's running like a sweatshop over there.
Yeah.
Becky or somebody is like running this sweatshop of like freshmen in home ec. That's fucking funny.
Yeah. Because they, Glee Club never has the time to make their own costumes because, and someone's got to make all their set shit, like all the backdrops.
This is the whole, like, is it fantasy or reality thing? Like, in a fantasy, sure, everybody's got a meticulously color-coordinated 60s outfit. But, like, in reality, it makes more sense that, like, you know, everybody's got a white t-shirt on or something like that. Like, that feels like
white t-shirt and blue jeans.
That feels doable for high school set. But no,
or McKinley is using the unpaid labor of their students.
Yeah, that's funny. Or like a joke about like, oh yeah, we raided like the costume closet for the production of Across the Universe or something, you know, like
Oklahoma.
This was like the drama club's last production, but they can't do that because they made the drama club also the Glee Club.
Yep.
I mean, backwards, the Glee Club's also the drama club. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Which is not how high school hierarchy works. Once again,
nope.
This whole writer's room just writing about shit. They have no clue how it works. They don't know how diners work, and they don't know how Broadway casting works, and they don't know how high school like casts go. Like, nope. Anyways.
I don't know anything.
I just wish they had had the – I wish Glee had had the courtesy – not the courtesy, the foresight, really. Like, I don't think it's about the network giving them more seasons. I think it's about the creators having an actual plan. But I'm thinking of like The Good Place only has 4 seasons. That is what the showrunners intended. They could have made some shit up and done more seasons, but they were like, no, this is the story we want to tell. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And we're going to end it the way we intended to end it. Mm-hmm. And Glee just didn't have the finesse to end it when it was time to end it. Well, I think that's everything that happened in the episode.
It is. Do we have any wrap-ups before we get to our favorite lines?
Nope. Let's just skip to our favorites. Yeah.
All right. Favorite song.
Oh, fuck. I didn't write it down. Okay.
I think mine's just Hey Jude because Darren song singing, you know, doing the thing.
Yes. I'm going to pick Here Comes the Sun because in isolation, I love it. Song and performance, excellent. I will pretend the rest of the lines didn't happen. Hey Jude is tied with me for number one. Those are both my favorites for sure.
Cool. Do you have any standout lines?
Okay, my favorite line was when Sue calls Shu.
Busted timber fake.
That was a good one.
That role was supposed to be for Justin Timberlake. It was written for him.
It was.
And they just cast a lookalike, basically, in Maddie Fresh. And then they waited five seasons
imagine?
To make the joke.
Can you imagine how different like pop culture would have been if Justin Timberlake had been stuck on Glee?
They're so reminiscent of each other. Did Maddie Fresh become more like Justin Timberlake because of this? Or have they always just been like a
maybe
Mario Wario kind of situation?
I think it's just a natural Mario Wario. Yeah.
Anyways, we got to move on.
They need to do like a DNA test and see if they're like distant cousins.
I believe it. Emily, what was your favorite line?
Oh, it's the I like yeast in my bagel, but not in my muffin.
Iconic. Absolutely iconic.
It's, I just love it so much. And because like the whole commercial is so good and it's such like a bright spot.
Yeah.
I think we've dropped the indices.
Oh, what about that thing I like? Did we drop that too?
Oh, yes, that thing. No, I like that thing I like because we want to end on positivity.
The reference of it is lost. Darren Criss had a podcast for a second in case anyone's wondering where that comes from.
That's right. That he had a podcast. let's give that a recap real quick. in case the reference makes no sense. That thing I like is a reference to Darren and one of the Haim sisters having a podcast called, oh shit, I don't even remember what it was called. He had a podcast.
Yeah, like something like that.
Was that what it was called?
Was it literally called?
I don't know. It lasted a couple episodes and then because I think neither one of them are capable of doing things consistently, it went away. Or maybe they'll do it again someday. I don't know. But that's what that reference is. So B, what is that thing that you like from this episode?
I said that and I didn't actually have an answer. Oh, you know what the thing I liked was, because we didn't talk about it enough. When they sang that clip of like Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band, I loved that they had like accurate costume recreations from it. Mm-hmm. I love that. I like when they do tributes like that, when it's like they go that little extra step. It's like they're singing the song, but yep, they're also referencing the music video or the performance. And like, I love when they do that in their tribute episodes. They go that little extra step to honor the artist by also incorporating like their costumes or their music videos and stuff.
You're correct. I will piggyback mm-hmm. off your thing that you like with my thing that I like is that song. It's not my favorite song, but I love Marley and Unique's voices together.
Yes. Yes.
There's something about it because they also sound great on the Bruno Mars song that they did before. What song was that? Oh, shit.
At the dance.
In my brain and now it's gone. Yeah. At the other dance, they do. Mm-hmm. Yes. Locked Out of Heaven. Thank you.
Good.
They just sound really good together. And it's, I think, I don't know if, I mean, I don't know that they're ever going to like release albums, but if they ever did, I'd want them to like have a song together just doing music.
Yes, I think the first pure duet they did together was Blow Me One Last Kiss, and it is one of my favorites. Yes. One of my all-time favorite.
Right.
There are a few songs from season 3 on that really like, well, season 4 on really, that like stick with me, and that one sticks because it's so good. Their voices are amazing together.
They're so good. Like just some voices blend
yeah.
together just naturally, and theirs do, and I love it.
Like Chris and Darren.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a good foursome.
Oh my god, song, fun.
Maybe. That could be fun.
That's the Glee Group. I don't think
does it happen?
Just like a cast album.
Yeah.
And like produced by them, like stuff they wish they could have sung or something.
Oh. Well, that could be a fun like podcast question for them
yeah.
is like, what are the songs that you didn't get to do that you really want to do?
Or the songs that like came out after Glee ended.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like there's been so many times in like the cultural zeitgeist or whatever, when some song comes out and everybody's like, thank God Glee's not around anymore.
Yeah.
Like Hamilton.
Thank God they didn't, the Hamilton episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh God, this would have definitely been on Glee. Like, I love that that's still around. Like, still just a cultural thing that probably will never end.
Artie rapping Guns and Ships.
Yes. Or Shu. Or both.
Or Shu. They're both fighting for it.
Yep. Wow, I see it.
All
so
right, well,
cute.
At GleeCast, what songs in the last 5 years?
Yeah. Well, on that note, after Adriana cuts everything we just talked about.
The last 30 minutes. I don't know. Was it Allison? Allison was like, you should... like whatever hits the cutting room floor, make into a Patreon subscriber bonus.
I was just thinking
and like,
that. Like
here's all your bullshit.
Patreon subscribers could get extended episodes, which is just like uncut bullshit for
yeah.
2 hours. Well, there's already people in yeah. our reviews who are like, if you hate Glee, why do you talk about it so much? And it's like, you don't understand. For those who understand, this is therapy. For me, this is therapy. Therefore,
this is therapy.
And yeah. Before I was on the show, I was listening to you guys having therapy with you, being like, yes, thank you
yeah.
for processing all my feelings for me. So
this is just getting it out. Like, yeah. If it sits in the tummy, then it just gets worse. Yeah. You gotta let it out.
We've been walking around with this for years. We're letting it go. Honestly, this is like the journey of us like letting go of our feelings, yes, about Glee that we've been sitting on for so long. Like,
totally.
100%. Especially with the way it ended, it just kind of like petered off. Like, we went, mm-hmm, from being so strongly in this fandom, talking every day about it, like being consumed with it, to just like, it just kind of trailed off. Like, we just slowly stopped watching, and then the show, mm-hmm, ended without us. Like, we did not get the catharsis of finishing it. So
we're giving ourselves closure.
We're finding our own closure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the girls that get it, get, yeah, it.
The girls that get it, get it.
That's right.
I feel too old to say those things sometimes.
That's like not even popular to say anymore. So like, it's probably like cringy that I even said it.
Fuck those people.
We're chuggy over here. I can't keep up. We're old.
Sorry, Adriana. You're going to have to cut all this out. God. Because now we have to close the episode.
I was thinking about closing, and then we talked about capitalism. So yeah, I'm back on my soapbox.
So thank you for listening to this extra long episode, because no matter how we cut it, it's going to be a long episode. If you want to find us on the internet, you certainly know how to do that by now. We are at Fandom on the Rocks, because Glee is part of Fandom on the Rocks. You can also find our other podcast, Pack Dynamics, which is a Teen Wolf podcast. The entirety of the first season is out into the world, where me and our good buddy Allison deep dive into Teen Wolf, which is another show that ended like 10 years ago, but we still talk about and can't let go of, where we're trying to find closure.
It was definitely the Tumblr zeitgeist the same time. And can I say, that show was incredible. You and Allison have done an amazing job.
Thank you.
Like, I watched
it. It's another one.
Years and years and years ago, but you guys bring it to life. And I'm like, oh yeah, that happened. It's great.
Thank you. It's another show where you're just like, potential.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get deeper into the season and you're like, what are you doing? Like,
what happened? Yeah.
What, my show, what are you doing to it?
Yeah.
Please stop. But they're all so beautiful that you're kind of like, it's fine. And the music's really good. The music's good in a different way from Glee, because, mm-hmm, you're like, it's just hard rock in the background.
It was on MTV. It's cool.
It was on MTV. Remember when MTV played music?
MTV. Showing our age.
Music. You can also support us on patreon.com/fandomontherocks and find a bunch of bonus content. And we will catch you on the next episode, which is, unfortunately, the quarterback. There's not a whole lot to say about it. We are all going to be in our feels on it. I suppose if you want to skip that one, you are free to. We won't, but
like all our other episodes,
tissues and a drink.
It will be therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a rough one, but we're going to power through it with the power of friendship.
Yeah,
I don't know how we're going to do it.
We were forged in the flames of the Glee fandom, so
we were.
If you were also, we can do it. We'll be there together. That's right.
We'll make it through together.
Yeah.
So we'll do that, and then we'll see you on that one. And that is what you missed on prom?
You've been listening to Glee on the Rocks, a Fandom on the Rocks podcast. A huge thank you to our sound editor, Adriana. For more episodes, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and anywhere else on the internet at Fandom on the Rocks. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can subscribe to our Patreon account at patreon.com/fandomontherocks. Subscribers get ad-free content, exclusive bonus episodes, deep diving into Glee, our favorite fandoms, random updates, and so much more. So until next time, that's what you missed on Glee.